Today is the first Sunday of Advent, the season of year, the beginning of the church year, when we prepare for, not just for the birth of Christ, but when we think about the second Advent, about the second coming, about how Christ comes into our lives again and again and again. And today's scripture is about that second coming. The first Sunday of Advent, we always read these kind of words from Jesus that he spoke near the end of his earthly life. So hear now the word of God. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then Jesus told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, in some corners of the church, there are a lot of time is spent trying to figure out the date of Christ's coming again, using all kinds of scripture verses from here and there all over the Bible to come up with some kind of a system that will predict, and some folks say with great accuracy, when they believe Christ will come again. Now, of course, this has been happening ever since the very beginning. Ever since the beginning, in the year 90, St. Clement, whom we still call a saint, he said the world will end at any moment. Clement is still waiting. In 1000 A.D., there were many who gave their possessions to the church, knowing that everything was coming to an end when the calendar clicked to the year 1000. It didn't happen, and the church kept their stuff. By the way, we'll be collecting some... 2000 A.D., 1,000 years later, the same thing happened. There were at least 15 predictions of the end of the world, according to the Library of Date Setters of the End of the World. Yes, there's people out there that keep track of these things. And some of you know that actually Chuck had the number 30 up there, but this year we really don't have to worry because there are only 19 days until the end of the Mayan calendar. So ever since the beginning of time, people have been thinking about when things will end and thinking there's some schedule out there somewhere and we can just figure it out. And people terribly misuse the Bible trying to do just that. Well, fortunately, Jesus, if we read what Jesus says about it, he saves us the trouble because he says nobody knows the time or season. Not even himself. Only God the Father knows. So speculating about the timing of the end and how it exactly happens really isn't helpful. I mean, read those Left Behind books if you want. Watch those cool movies that they come out with every so often about how the world ends. But not for a time schedule. More for entertainment. Because nobody knows how that works. If Jesus doesn't know, chances are we're not going to figure it out. But then you're left thinking, well, what are these words all about anyway? When Jesus says this kind of stuff. How are we supposed to understand this? I mean, don't you wish Jesus wouldn't talk this way? I mean, all that's about shaking of the heavens and the earth, about the chaos of the waters. I mean, let's just read the Christmas story about the baby. We can handle that. Let's talk about how we should love our neighbors as ourselves. That's a lot harder, but at least we can get a handle on it. Or, you know, how Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." Well, okay, we can deal with that. But no, every Advent we read words like this about the second Advent, about how Christ will come again. What's that all about? So here are three thoughts about the second advent of our Lord. When I was a senior in high school, I figured out that the ideal life would be college without school. People your own age, very little adult supervision, none if you're lucky. Entertainment, sports, recreation, no classes, and all the soft serve ice cream you can eat. My senior year of high school, I looked for that. College without school, but it was not to be found. The school I did find had, you know, final exam week, and I remember sitting in the dining room of my college fraternity, studying hard, and looking over, and actually first I heard a sound. I heard that sound you get when new books open, you know, that creak. And I looked over there, and there's my friend Rick, who's a varsity swimmer. You know, swimmers work hard. He's cracking a book. I said, "Did you just buy that book?" And he said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "Every year, every semester, I take one class, and I don't buy the book until finals week, and then I ace the class just to show the university who's boss." And he did. But few of us can pull that off. Few of us can pull that off. And the first lesson of Advent is that finals are coming. There is a final exam, so let the wise student prepare and be ready. There's no college without school. There are responsibilities. There are callings. There is a particular way of life that we are called to live as Christian people, as sons and daughters, as husbands and wives, as fathers and mothers, as friends, as people on the way, on Christ's way. And there is a judgment. There is a judgment. It matters what we do. Let me hasten to say that one can believe in the judgment of God without losing any sight of God's forgiveness and love. In fact, the most effective judgment, if you look at your own past, the most effective judgment is the one you pronounce on yourself. And when we talk about the light of God's presence sometimes, I think that means we'll likely do just that. The light of God's presence, when we see our own lives in the light of God's presence, God won't have to say a thing. The most effective judgment will be the one we pronounce on ourselves. But thinking about the second advent of Christ now, it encourages us to live a life of purpose now, a life that matters now, because there is a final exam. Second lesson of Advent. You know, college isn't just a place for individual education and achievement. At its best, a university is also a place for the advancement of knowledge and wisdom, for the bettering of society, for the improvement of the world. When we hear all this talk about a world in turmoil, in Jesus' words there, about how the heavens are shaking and the earth is shaking, we're aware that something's happening everywhere, not just in us. And we remember how Jesus said, well, for God so loved, not you and you and you, but for God so loved the world, that what God's doing isn't just in individual lives here. Jesus didn't come to save you and you and you, hopefully me. No, God came to save the world. We're part of something far bigger than just our own lives. So the Christian life isn't just an individual game, it's a team sport. And God's purposes are much larger than any one of us. And knowing that God is at work in ways that are far bigger, and yet we have a unique and important place in what God's doing in the world, an important task, a calling, that's important to know and to see. And it can also be comforting to know that God is working God's purposes out in a larger way, in ways that we can't always see. And the third lesson of Advent is this. Heads up. Who here played baseball? When you're practice, right? Heads up, what does that mean? It means there's a ball coming your way, and you better open your eyes and pay attention. Otherwise, you're likely to catch it in the skull. I always thought heads up was sort of counterintuitive. I mean, shouldn't you say duck? But hear what Jesus is saying in this, when things are in turmoil, when things are in disarray, when things are in chaos, And you think Jesus didn't really know that it would be like this, not just at the end of time, but all through time? The world would be in disarray and chaos. Jesus says, stand up and look up. Jesus says, heads up, because the kingdom of God is coming near to you. Your redemption is near. When life is at its most challenging, its most chaotic, its most threatening, it's not duck and cover, it's heads up. Look up. Why? Because that's when the kingdom of God is near to you. And that's when we're most receptive to experiencing the presence of God. You might think it's be when things are going well, when we're, you know, everything's great. No, we're most attentive, we're most aware, we're most open to the presence of God when there's something tough coming our way. When a marriage ends, when a child is sick, when a parent dies, when the pink slip comes, when the world seems to be going down the drain and taking you with it, when you think there's no future left to hope for, heads up. That's when God is doing, and has always done, God's best work. You know, the way out is always the way in. And when things are at their worst is when God is at God's best. I mean, you just have to look at the life of Jesus to see that. When things were the worst, that's when resurrection happened. And resurrection happens over and over and over again. I mean, you've all seen it happen in the voice of a friend, in an answer to prayer, in that peace that comes to you from somewhere beyond yourself, even when things are at their most crazy, their most threatening. So I believe in the second advent of Christ. I don't know how or when or the details, and I don't think that matters. But I believe that in the midst of a world gone crazy, that God will not desert God's creation. God will not forsake the people that he gave his son to save. And I believe that one day God will wipe away every tear from every eye. God will right all wrongs, correct every injustice, and that we will know the peace and the gladness that is God's intent for all of the world, for all of God's people. That day is coming, maybe not in our lifetime, probably not in our lifetime. But God still is working his purpose out, and thanks be to God. Pray with me. Lord, when life is tough, and it is, let us hear your call to look up with open eyes and open hands, with open hearts to your Spirit. For Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and for our own sakes, we ask it. Amen.